Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, April the 26th of 2021. And I'm your host this evening, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you tonight, as it always is. And I'm coming to you wherever you are, however you're tuning in. I'm so grateful that you've tuned in. Whether you're from here in my hometown of Midland, across the state of Michigan, across America, or across the globe. Now, normally when I get updates, I'm always told that we're getting people listening from a wide diversity of countries, from many different planets. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm in many different continents. In fact, last update I had, I was being heard on all six continents that sustain life. Of course, Antarctica is not a place where, unless you're a scientist or something, that's not somewhere where you live permanently full time. Of course, there are no grocery stores, so you can forget going to the grocery store to get your foods of choice, food you did at home. There's no restaurants to eat at. There's no takeout, no delivery. There's delivery, but it comes by plane and boat. And I don't know of any restaurant or grocery store that will deliver down there. You know, so. But to be honest, we have people listening from, of course, North, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, and Australia, Australasia, Oceania, the different names they have for that land down under. Under what? The only thing that's down under is below the equator. Of course, there's even a swath of South America that's just at the equator, and a tiny bit that's just north of it. We don't call that the land down under, but I'm so grateful for all of you for tuning in, whether it's in the evening for you, in the morning, in the afternoon, wherever. Obviously, in some places, like Europe, chances are you're staying up late to hear me. Because when it's 6:30 here, U.S. East Coast time, those of you in Europe, you're talking 10:30, 11:30, 12 a.m. I mean, like 10:30, 11:30 p.m., 12:30 a.m. and some places where I go live and then get done at between like midnight and 2 a.m. Europe time, that is, because parts of Europe are in different time zones. I was just saying, for example, of course. But, of course, for others of you, places like where we had that listener from Honduras, even places in the western United States where for those of you when it starts, we're still in the afternoon. And maybe you're listening to me at your office. Or, you know, whatever you're doing. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to come to you this way. Technology, uses the internet. You know. And it's a blessing to live in the last days because we have these tools. I get to use this tool to bring you the show. You use it, of course, to hear it. And the thing about being on the World Wide Web is that it allows people to hear from all different countries. Where, like, 25, 30 years ago, almost the biggest you could have gotten is nationally, internationally to a degree, but not like the easy reach like you can have now. And so we're just grateful for modern day technology. We're just so glad that you joined us, however you found out, wherever you're listening from. And my prayer is that you receive whatever you're believing God to receive tonight. And I really hope you're expecting something from the Lord. Because I feel like you should always be expecting something from the Lord. And I truly believe that. I'm not just saying. Amen. Now, of course, April will be coming to an end. As of Saturday, it will then be May 1st. Man, April went by rather quick. Certainly faster than last April when we had all those shut down, shut, be quiet. You know, the nonsense is still going on. You know, this whole thing, and we got to continue to curse the virus. But I received some good news today on the roller coaster capital of the world, Cedar Point. I was honestly not sure what to expect this year as far as how they would deal with, you know, mask or not to mask. What are they going to limit capacity to? And that kind of stuff. As it is, they are celebrating the 150 years this year, which I am excited about that. And there'll be different things taking place throughout the summer. It'll be centered around the actual summer part of the season. So like June to August. So not as much in like May. Some more like between like June and like mid-August. And the cool thing is that I found out today is that you're no longer going to be required to wear a mask outside. You are no longer going to be required to wear a mask outside at Cedar Point. Now, inside, you'll still have to wear one, unless you're actively eating or drinking, but you won't need to wear one on the ride, unless maybe you have your mask and you don't want to lose it while you're on the ride. When I go, what I'll probably do is, at least to wear them out and about to other places, what I would do then is I would probably just put my mask in a pocket that you can, like, has a button on it so you can close the pocket. That way you're not losing it while you're on the ride because you're thinking, you know, what if it's not on my face since I don't need to wear it now? And I am honestly delighted by that because anywhere that I'm not required by law or signage to wear a mask, I will not wear it. If I'm in a place and it doesn't have a mask required sign, I don't wear it. Maybe just around my neck. If I've been in a place that had it, that I had to wear it, like so that I don't lose it and stuff. But And I know, I've heard they have plans for the back side of the year, but how many of you know, how many of you listeners know that God wins? God has the final say. God has the final say. Yes, he does. And my hope is that we're about done with the masks real soon here. And I just saw a study. Shelley, are you out here or no?
Yeah.
I just saw a study. Fox News was one of them that reported on it. I saw it on their thing. I saw it in my Google News feed just this morning. It said that 6 feet, for example, 60 feet of distancing is no more effective than 6 feet. No more effective than 6 feet. Meaning that what the study finds is that it's more based on how long are you in this enclosed space rather than are you within or not within 6 feet? Now, obviously, you don't want to be breathing on anybody. No, no, no. You at least want to be able to sit down, have a little bit of space in between. You know, maybe a foot or something or whatever, or be able to get around. Like maybe, But this thing basically showed that 6 feet, because obviously if 60 feet is not exactly super effective, no way 6 feet's effective. Basically what that's saying is that this whole 6 feet thing was misguided, which I felt that way for a long time. Now, for the first weeks of it, I could have seen, well, this makes sense. Maybe this makes sense. Okay, it's a bit dumb, but maybe for right this minute it makes sense. Now, we're starting to find out. Didn't work. And we're seeing truth is being revealed. And so we got to keep believing that the truth is going to continue to be revealed and that any plans that the enemy has to further this, I brought to naught. And I'm not a pastor. but I feel like I need to say this for our Christian brothers and sisters. For those of you who think, oh, it was just about a virus. Folks, one of the goals of this was to stop the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the goals of this was to stop the Church. Huh? Exactly. One of the goals of this was to stop the Church, the body of Christ, from fulfilling the ministry. Part of what they were after is this. The Bible says forget not the gift, you know, do not forsake. Do not stop gathering together. Even more so as you see the day approaching. Even the more so as you see the day approaching. And many of these governors and mayors and what have you declared that churches were unessential services. But they said, well, the bars can be open to serve liquor to go. The restaurants can stay open. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Target. You can go congregate at Lowe's. Okay, you weren't supposed to congregate, but you saw the picture of some of those packed home improvement store parking lots, didn't you? Didn't you see those on the internet, Shelley? There were pictures of them, of how packed some of these home improvement store parking lots were.
Oh, yeah.
In some of these places, March, April. Like, Dr. Barclay even said, I think, during the conference in San Diego, he mentioned the local Lowe's here. The parking lot was full. It was just about full. And he wasn't sure that they were enforcing the distancing inside. I'm sure they tried to a degree, but he's thinking, you know. So if we can have people coming to Lowe's to get all that stuff, why can't we gather at the house of the Lord like the Bible says? So, yes, it was an attack against the Church. But governors like Ron DeSantis of Florida declared that churches were essential. And now we're able to meet, churches are able to meet in Michigan, have been for a while. You know, even for a long time, even back to last, like, early June, because for a time what Whitmer had done is she had said that churches could be open so they could have church. However, there could still be penalties due to the stay-at-home order, there could be penalties if people were seen out going to church. Which, if you ask me, makes no sense at all. So, like, the pastor can be at church, conduct the service. My pastor did that for a couple months. Yeah. But this to say, whatever the enemy tries, they fail to get everything they want. Because the plan was, do you realize, Shelley, the plan was to lock everything down permanently. Did you ever hear that the plan was to do it permanently? Yep. The plan wasn't just, oh, stop the spread. Oh, a couple months. Oh, whatever. Oh, the plan was permanent. that was actually the plan. And they may try again but God's having his way. God's moving. And I'm glad about that. And so those of you where your churches have opened, don't start taking your church being open for granted. Don't start that. Please do not start that. I haven't started taking it for granted. I don't plan to start taking it for granted. No way. Jose. But I'm so grateful to serve the Lord, and I'm so grateful to get to go to the house of the Lord. There are still places on this planet where church gatherings are banned. I wish that wasn't true, but it is. And I think God is going to do one final great awakening before the rapture. And over the course of last year, I hope many of you listeners really sought God more than you had before. Paid more attention to your spiritual life. And really dealt with yourself on spiritually. I really hope that you did. And looked at some of those things. And maybe you started doing more spiritual temperature checks, which, unlike in the natural, you should be running the fever of the Holy Ghost. That's the only fever you should run. The only fever you should ever run. That's it. Is the fever of the Holy Ghost. And I've heard some of these sports fans say after their team wins the championship, oh, I've got Buccaneer fever. I got, Steelers, Chiefs, fever. I'd be like, no. But, because God said, I would that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Amen. So every day at noon, we're continuing to curse the virus, continuing to curse the spirits behind it, and that we'll see our country open, the world open, and that we'll see our churches filled with people who are hungry for the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The other thing I want to remind you is I haven't touched on this in a while, but we should continue to pray for the doctors, the hospital workers that are on the front lines of this, the healthcare providers, those who work in the ER, those who are working in the ICU dealing with the ventilators, that pray that they have strength, pray that God is just, you know, that they're strong and that they're that the right ones are there that pray for patients when they need it so that they can get healed and get out of there. Because there was a couple, few different things that we were praying over during the lockdown. The other was, you know, the strength of the economy to come back, which is happening. Real quick, before we get into some worship and then the word of the Lord, is I do want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by your local McDonald's. You can go through your local McDonald's drive-thru and grab an any size ice cold Coca-Cola for the low price of just a dollar. And of course you can get a Coke, a Sprite, a High C will be coming back, or you can be like Preacher Man and get yourself a Dr. Pepper. Any size that they have to choose from, like I said, for the low price of just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Tax, extra, see store for details. And also, I want to remind you, please go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information for the book, about the book, Rivers of Miracles. You'll go to riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com. Find out information about the book, to purchase the book. As this book really will change your life. It's about the story of the first 30 years of my life, everything that God's done. And I know that God has started a great work in me, and we're going to see it done to completion. We're going to see it done to completion. And I know it's true. I know it's true. Yes, I do. And I just thank the Lord all the time for that. And the other thing I want to remind you is to please sow seed. Let me say it this way. If this show has been a blessing to your life at all over the years, the last three and a half years that I've been doing this, if it's been a blessing to your life at all, please consider sowing a seed. No pressure at all. But I want to see you blessed. And also, I want to see God move on you. And you. And so I want to see you blessed. And you can go to online to paypal.com. You can give whatever amount you choose to give. And for my name in the search bar, you will type in Rivers Shukla. First name is Rivers, capital R-Y-V-E-R-S, and then a space, and then the last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Again, that name is Rivers Shukla. And like I said, you can choose whatever amount you want to give. Be between you and God. And amen. And the verse that comes to my mind tonight is, my God shall supply all of my needs according to the GameStop stock. Oh, I'm sorry. According to, let me think here, the 10-year treasury note. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's not in there, is it? Nope. Therefore, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. According to his riches and glory. And, of course, as you sow seed, I continue to call it blessed, and this just helps keep us going. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Now we're going to worship the Lord a bit, and then we are going to continue on with the book of Samuel. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me all of the time, all of the time. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me all of the time, all of the time. You lift me up when I'm sad. You make me feel so glad. You are the best friend I've ever had. All of the time, all of the time. You give me faith. You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith. You meet my every need. You give me faith, you give me joy. Let me do it this way. I forgot. You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith. Meet my every need. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me all of the time, all of the time. You lift me up so high. You lift me up to the sky. You lift me up so high all of the time, all of the time. You've been so good to me. 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 You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith. You meet my every need. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. All of the time, all of the time. You lift me up when I'm sad. You make me feel so glad. You are the best friend I ever had. All of the time, all of the time. You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith and meet my every need. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. All of the time, all of the time. All of the time, all of the time. All of the time, all of the time. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. 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 Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord. Live for me with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord. To live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your way. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord. Live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your way. Oh, Lord. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord. Live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your way. Stronger each day. Show me your way. Stronger each day. Show me your way. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. All the joy I found surrendering my crown as the feet of the King. I surrender everything. And all the peace I found surrendering my crown at the feet of the King. I surrender everything. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Yes, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. With all the peace of found, I lay down my crown. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. Surrendering my crown, I'm giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. Surrendering my crown. I give my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. Surrendering my crown. I give you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours. Oh, Lord, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours. Yes, Lord, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours. Yes, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you are, everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, Lord God, are the first. You are the last. You are the beginning. You are the end. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. Thank you for everything that you represent for us. And that for everything that you are starting in us. Everything that you've started a great work in us. And you will see it. We will see it done to completion. Thank you, Lord God, for this time together as we study your word. Your word that brings great life to us. Your word that strengthens us. And I just thank you for this time that we have together to study it. Thank you that as we study, that things are revealed to us tonight. You shall show yourself known to all of us tuned in tonight. To all of these tuned in. Thank you that those tuned in tonight who do not know you will give their life to you. And that they will contact me and let me know that they gave their life to you, Jesus, so that this word can work in their lives. And I just thank you, Lord God, that every need that is represented tonight on the show, every need is met in your name, Jesus. You know what every person needs, as you are the meter of the need. And you know what these needs are that are represented. All the various different needs, you know them. Thank you that we will see them met. In your mighty name, Jesus. As you know, Lord God, what needs to happen for these people. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that finances come into this program. I say that partners come into this program. I say that increases in listenership come into this program. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's make our confession. Because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. Amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says the word, what the word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me, more than a religious book to me, and more than a history book to me. Lord, tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5. And we're going to continue on in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the Ark of God. Praise God. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Soon as I find it here, we'll be all set. And praise God, I have found it. So I will begin reading with verse 1. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and sent it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon, fallen on the face, on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they arose, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off, and they were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why, to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who entered Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel, little g, the ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon, our God." So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Have the ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath." So they moved the ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against the city, throwing it into a great panic. And he afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. As the ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out. They brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, send the Ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people. For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy upon it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors. And the outcry of the city went up to heaven. Chapter 6. When the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory for 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place. They answered, if you return the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty, but by all means, send a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you. The Philistines asked, what guilt offering should we send to him? They replied, give gold tumors and 5 gold rats according to the number of Philistine rulers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and of the rats that are destroying the country, and pay honor to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. Who do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did when he treated them harshly? Did they not send the Israelites out so that they could go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready with 2 cows that I've calved and have never been yoked. Fix the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pin them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart. And in a chest beside it, put the gold objects that you are sending back to him as a guilt offering. Send it on its way. Keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory, toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. If it does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, and that this happened to us by chance. So they did this. They took 2 such cows and pitched them to the cart. And pinned up their calves. They placed the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and along with it, the chest containing the gold rats in the mountains of the tumors. And the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the border, and Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua at Beth Shemesh, and there it stopped beside a large rock. The people stopped, chopped up the wood of the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord, together with the chest containing the gold objects, and placed them on the large rock. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The five rulers of the Philistines saw all this and then returned that same day to Ekron. Those are the gold tumors the Philistines sent as a guilt offering to the Lord. One each for Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And the number of the gold rats, according to the number of Philistine towns belonging to the five rulers, fortified towns with their country villages, the large rock on which they sent the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. But God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. The people mourned because the heavy blow that the Lord had dealt them. And the men of Beth Shemesh asked, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God, to whom the ark go up from here?" Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your place." Chapter 7. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on a hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. Verse 2. It was a long time, 70 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then get rid of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baal, their Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And on that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, and rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them, and when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines, and they said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord of the God for us, for he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel pushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Thus far has the Lord helped us," it says, but I edited it for you listeners for clarity. So it says, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us," as I said. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Verse 14. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines, and the towns from Ekron to Gath, the Philistines had captured from Israel, were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all these places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also judged Israel, for he built an altar there to the Lord. All right. So, what you see here is this Ark of the Lord. And at first it keeps going from place to place to place to place to place. And then in chapter 6, so that you can see what happened, the ark they had told the people, you know, put the ark on a cart burnt offerings, may sacrifices of the Lord to the people got to make an offering that go according to the number of pillars and your belonging. Large rock. And they sent the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth-Shemesh. This is, but God struck down some of the men of Beth-Shemesh. By killing 70 of them, because they looked into the ark of the Lord. They looked into the ark of the Lord, and they weren't supposed to look into the ark of the Lord. They looked into it. Of course, first, the ark was going from place to place, and all these different people, they didn't want it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They wanted nothing to do with the ark at all. They called God, the God of Israel, big G. They called him little G. They're like, we don't want nothing to do with this God thing. They're like, nope, we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about it. We do not want to hear a word about it at all. Now in chapter 7, the Israelites get their ark back, and for 70 years, the ark is at Aminadab's house, and they seek the Lord. Listeners, they seek the Lord. And Samuel says to Israel, he tells them, if you are truly returning to the Lord your God with all your heart, put away all these other things that you put in front of God. Put away all of these other things, these Ashtaroths, their Baals and all their everything else that they put in front of God, all these other idols. They put away these other things that they were putting either in front of God or on equal footing with God. No one can serve two masters. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. That's what it says. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. Can't serve two masters at once. It has to be Jesus or the other stuff. It's either him or. Not him and. Not him and. You can't serve God and money. God and this other stuff. God and. You cannot. God is God. And he told him, serve the Lord only. Don't serve the Lord and this other stuff. And he said, assemble all Israel, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. And when they had assembled and poured it out before the Lord, and on that day they fasted. And then the Israelites go out and they totally defeat the Philistines. They defeated the Philistines, and it wasn't even close. It was not close. They totally destroyed the Philistines. They destroyed them. They destroyed them. They didn't just sit there and decide to not serve God. They decided to serve God. The Israelites did. And they put away these other gods. They put them away from themselves. They did not go and not do what they want, and they served the Lord with what they had. And they didn't go all, you know. And so my challenge to you tonight, listeners, is please check yourself. Make sure you're not serving other gods, putting other things ahead of God, or putting things on equal footing with God. Because it's not supposed to be Jesus plus. It's supposed to be Jesus period. Not Jesus plus job. Jesus plus family. And some people may think, oh, it's supposed to be God first, family second, church third. God said, God first, God second, God third. I'm serious. Amen. Amen. He just said, God first, God second, God third. Not this other stuff first. Or God then, this equally. And one of the things as Christians that we're supposed to be doing, we have to make sure that we are making Jesus our first love. It's a commandment that God had. One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve him only. Serve him, not him and all this other stuff. No, serve the Lord only with everything that you have, and not be all And Samuel was a prophet of God. He knew what was going on. And he watched the Israelites from where he was at over the years. He watched them. And with Samuel, the Israelites didn't lose to the Philistines again forever. Not with Samuel, they didn't. With Samuel, the Israelites always defeated the Philistines. Yes, they did. They defeated him. Why? Because God was on their side. God was on the side of Israel. God was on their side. Because they had put away, those Israelites had put away all these other gods that they had, and they had put God first. See, when you put God first, God helps you. When you put other things in front of God, or even on an equal footing with God, he can't help you. Because what's that mean if other stuff is not an equal thing? That means other things are also your God. Well, he is your, you know, like you give place to two. God and. God and. God and. Nope. God, period. You can have other things. It's okay to have other things in your life, of course, but shouldn't be your God. And here's how to know if other things are really getting in the way. Where when, say, you're supposed to be reading the Bible, and instead you're looking up all the sports scores. You're supposed to be praying, but instead you are trying to find out everything you can about the latest NFL draft pick. Well, what happened in yesterday's games? Or what the newest Oscar did. You know, your latest star. You know? And so, well, maybe it's not that stuff. Maybe what it is every time you're supposed to be at church, instead you end up at work, and it's not at church, and it makes it so that, like, you're never at church. That can be not good also. So what I want to get to you tonight is you can't serve God and other things. You have to make a choice. And I really hope the choice you make is to choose God over everything else. And just lay down all that other stuff. Lay it down. Now, Heavenly Father, well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for these listeners tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you that we would put this word to use in our lives, that we would evaluate ourselves, that we would make sure that we are putting nothing either in front of or on the same footing as God. Trying to do God and this other stuff. I'm trying to say, well, I love God, but I also love just as much. And I pray that we would put away all these other things that are A, wrong and we should have nothing to do with, or B, that we've given them too much place, that we would step back and look at ourselves. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would put this word to use tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.